Hi, this is Martin Jenkins. Thank you for your interest in our ministry. The title of this message is He Sees the End from the Beginning. The Holy Ghost has been sent to guide us into all truth. One aspect of His guidance involves our empowering His leadership in our life through praying in other tongues. Thank God that when we don't have any idea how we fit into God's overall plan, we can pray in other tongues and empower the Holy Ghost to lead us strategically into position because He sees the end from the beginning. I hope that you enjoy this message. Let's begin with prayer. Father, what an awesome opportunity this is to study Your Word and to share the truths of Your Word that You have shown me with these people that have joined us this evening. Heavenly Father, I thank You that the leadership of Your Holy Spirit is at work this evening and is going to unveil these truths to us in a way that maybe we've not seen before. And we thank You for the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, thank You so much for our redemption and our new birth. We're so thankful. And we come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. We arrest You now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You. I thank You for being so good to us. We worship You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we're coming to you this evening, it's a little bit different circumstances than normal in the room adjacent to us, which is our kitchen. We have a couple of brothers, Willie and Irvin Ellis. They're helping us. They're installing some cabinets for us that they built. And the reason I mention that's because I want to incorporate some of the comments that Willie made to me earlier today into the message this evening. This is going to be more of a message for edification, to edify you and build you up, because it's kind of a testimony in some regards of the leadership of the Holy Ghost and how the leadership of the Holy Ghost can at times seem like it's maybe you're not even being led by the Holy Ghost when in fact you truly are. And it's amazing how He is able to lead us and guide us. And for myself, I've found, as many of you have, I'm sure, that through praying in tongues, that you empower the Holy Ghost to guide you and to direct you. And well, I tell you what, there's times that I've made decisions and I feel like I'm following the peace of God that's in my heart, but haven't really necessarily heard a voice, the voice of God directing me specifically. But when it's all said and done, I have found that the hand of God was right there all the time, and it amazes me because he kind of orchestrates things, and you don't really even know it, but in fact, by empowering the Holy Ghost through praying in tongues, empowering Him to guide you, empowering Him to lead you, you're giving Him the license to do this in your life, and it shouldn't be a shock to us. When we turn around and look and we see where the hand of God moved in this situation, and then He moved over in this situation, and we see it all fit together, and it's like this, it's like a puzzle where you've got these, a jigsaw puzzle where you have all these little nice little neatly cut pieces, and when you join these pieces of this jigsaw puzzle together, here's this beautiful picture, but individually you can't discern that picture when you just pick up one singular puzzle piece. It just has this image of a few colors maybe. You can't really tell what it is. But when you take the time and you sit down and you piece all of these things together, you'll look at it and the image just bounces right off of that puzzle, and you can see all of these things have worked together. Well, that is truly the way our lives are supposed to be as members of the body of Christ. We're supposed to be the, you know, we add one aspect, one piece of a puzzle, and our life is supposed to fit in with the, you know, the life of someone else, and they're to, you know, work together. And as at the end of the day, we should be able to see this beautiful picture of the body of Christ at work in the earth, edifying each other, edifying the body as a whole, building each other up. We should see where decisions that God has led us into have impacted someone else's life in a real way, and it's blessed them. And the thing that always stands out to me is how when I made that initial decision, I had no idea the ramifications. I had no idea that it was going to affect this other person over here and how dramatically it would affect them. But see, that's how the Holy Ghost, that's how he operates. He inspires us at times to do things. At other times, it's a very distinct instruction. You know, I've had those. I've had times where he very distinctly told us to do something. And for example, when we were living in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Debbie and I both had a distinct instruction, independent of each other, a distinct instruction that we were supposed to move to Knoxville, Tennessee. And when we were praying about this, we made the decision between the two of us that we wouldn't tell each other, you know, what it was that we felt like the Lord was giving us, and until we felt real confident about it. And then we're going to compare notes and see if it was in fact the same place. And when we compared notes, it was in fact Knoxville. And so here we are heading in the direction of leaving Tulsa, moving to Knoxville. Now, to some bystander that would look at our lives and, you know, see that, you know, we lived in a very nice house in Tulsa, and it was in a beautiful neighborhood. To all indications, that would have been a nice place to just live the rest of our life. So for us to one day say, gee, I think we're supposed to move to Knoxville, it doesn't make sense to the natural mind. And the natural mind, if you're going to live that way, is going to always think that the spiritual things are crazy. You know, where did you dream up going to Knoxville? I didn't dream it up. You know, this is what the Lord directed us to do. And so we sell the house in Knoxville, or in Tulsa. We put everything in a U-Haul trailer, and we head out for Knoxville. We come here, and then you have the whole issue of where are you going to live? And God directed us. In the purchase of the house that we live in now, we knew that it was in a geographic location. Here again, the leadership of the Holy Ghost. He leads you through the peace. That's predominantly, I would say, how he's led me and Debbie throughout our life, is just through the peace of God in our heart. We're faced, boy, I tell you, you're faced at times with making a decision. You got to do something. And hey, you could fast, you can pray, you can spend time with the Lord, but at you know, what are you going to do if you can't honestly say, I heard God tell me to do this? Now what are you going to do? You still got to make a decision, you know. And I've been faced with those situations. And what you do is you follow the peace that's in your heart. What is God impressing upon you to do? Where is there a level of peace in going this direction versus, oh, if I go that way, I don't have peace at all about doing that. See, that's what you have to follow, is that peace. And so when we were house hunting in Knoxville, oh my goodness, what an ordeal that was in March of last year, 2016. Here we were living in Knoxville, living in an extended stay hotel. I mean, can you imagine that? Here we are. We're not teenagers. We're not 20-year-old kids. We're in our 50s, and we have just sold our house in Tulsa, put everything in a U-Haul trailer, moved across country, put all of our stuff in a storage facility, and now we're living in an extended stay hotel. That's just crazy. People don't do that. But when you're following God, you do. And it doesn't have to make sense to your natural mind. And so here we were house hunting, living in this hotel with our dog at the time. Our dog, who's passed away, he was living with us there in that hotel room. How crazy was that? And we would go out and we'd house hunt during the day. And we came upon this house, and we had peace in our heart about it. We had looked at a few other ones, and nothing panned out. But when we came on this house, there was such peace about it. And when we made an offer to them, and they quickly accepted it. And so, now we have the house, moved into the house, and we were so blessed that some of the proceeds from the sale of the house in Tulsa were able to do renovations on this house. And which really brings me to the comments that Willie made to me earlier today. And the crux of what I wanted to share with you tonight, it was how we made the decision to do this renovation that these men are working on right now. And we chose them. We had such confidence in them, godly Christian men, and plus the skill level that they have is outstanding. It really is. And here God has orchestrated these events so that we have a house in a geographic location close enough to Willie and Irvin that they can do this work for us. And it's a couple of 3 hours away, but they're able to make the trip. And here they built these cabinets, beautiful cabinets out of this beautiful cherry wood. And they brought it down here, and now they're installing it. But the thing that the Holy Ghost just so impressed on me when Willie was talking to me when they first arrived was that, I made a comment of how this has really impacted our life. And Willie said it's one of the biggest impacts in his life. And I thought to myself, when we were in Tulsa, thinking about making this move, making this geographic move to Knoxville, I had no idea that this was going to impact somebody else's life the way it has. And so here's Willie telling me about how this job is, it's really challenged him, and it's been good for him. It's moved them into another level as far as their business goes, and it's also the proceeds of the sale of these cabinets to us for them has enabled them to purchase a house, the house that was next to them where they live out. So here's my point. Think about all of the things that the Holy Ghost was able to orchestrate through my following, mine and Debbie's following the Holy Ghost, and leaving Tulsa, coming here, buying this house. House needs renovation, having the money to be able to pay these men to do this job, and then though that money goes and helps them buy a house. That's just awesome. That's awesome. And there's no way that I could have known in myself that all of these things were going to happen. I can't. Who can know all of that? So how does it happen, Mark? How is it that the Holy Ghost can do all of these things? Because frankly, Mark, I don't see him doing this in my life. Well, there is an aspect of this that you've got to understand, and it is through empowering him to work on your behalf. You see, when you invite the Holy Ghost in through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, in other words, you've accepted Jesus, you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, and then you welcome the Holy Ghost to come in and baptize you with himself. So he comes in. It isn't that it's just an automatic, automatic leadership without us having to do something to empower him to work on our behalf. There has to be a mechanism. There has to be something where we willingly invite him in on a regular basis. And what could that be? It's praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is what opens the door to the Holy Ghost and invites him to come in and invites his leadership and his guidance. Look at this verse in the book of John. In the 16th chapter, and we've talked about this before on these live stream broadcasts, but it is something that I have found, if you don't refresh yourself with these verses regarding the leadership of the Holy Ghost, it'll slip on you. You have to continue to refresh yourself, continue to look at these verses and realize this is the ministry of the Holy Ghost. All right, verse in chapter 16 of the book of John, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. So, and yes, this guidance into all truth is going to be guidance into the truths of the Word of God and revealing the Word of God to us. But there's guidance in every area of your life with the Holy Spirit. As you pray in tongues, that guidance, as I said earlier, that guidance can happen without you even knowing it's happening. And those are the times that really amaze me. It's when we're making the decisions and the choices, following the peace of God, not really knowing the strategy, if you will, behind those decisions. It's like there's this genius. Yes, the Holy Ghost is that genius. There's this genius that's orchestrating, strategizing these moves. And here we are, just praying in tongues and following the leadership. And he's the one that's doing all the strategizing. He's the one that's so intricately maneuvering us in dotting every I, crossing every T. It just truly amazes me, you know. And this has happened with me and Debbie for, I would say, pretty much all of our married life. It happened to us when we lived in Florida, for example, when let me hold my place here. When we were in Florida and we were living at the time in an apartment. Oh boy, that was a there was another amazing move that God had directed us into. You know, we were living in southern Indiana, and the Lord directed us to South Florida. We load everything in a U-Haul trailer, and we go to South Florida, and we had no place to live. We found an apartment, which was amazing. We had no idea how hard it was to find a place to live. Found an apartment. We lived there for three years, I guess. And then the Lord directed us that He wanted us to get a house. And it was, again, through desire, because really, Debbie said, I want a house. And we felt peace about it from the Lord. And we started looking for a house. And, you know, when you live in a county like Palm Beach County, big, sprawling county, there's all kind of places to live in Palm Beach County. And so how are you going to figure out where to live? And see, this can apply to any area of your life. How are you going to figure out what job to work? How are you going to figure out what person to marry? How are you going to figure out what, you know, what to do in your education or whatever? You follow the peace of God. You let the Holy Ghost direct you. And in our case, you know, we had this big county, and we would pray and we would go looking at houses, and we finally came to agreement that the house is going to be in this geographic area, which covered about 10 blocks. Yeah, I think it was about 10 blocks. We knew it was going to be east of I-95, between I-95 and the ocean. We knew it was going to be south of Southern Boulevard. And we knew it was going to be north of Forest Hills Boulevard. So we knew the geographic location. So we started looking at houses in that area. And God directed us so specifically to one house. And this one house was this really ugly little HUD foreclosed house. It was just pathetic. And, you know, we stopped and we looked at this house, and oh my goodness. I mean, when the people left, they took the appliances with them. They took everything that wasn't nailed down. And we got in this house, we looked around, and we decided we were going to bid on this house. And we made a bid on it, and our realtor was a friend of ours, and he assured us that our bid was too low. But we had peace about it, and we just believed that this is our house, and we put our bid in on it, and we won that bid by $500. And you know, I won't go into all the details, but that house and the purchasing that house and all of the events that happened afterwards with owning that house and the sale of that house and the housing bubble, you know, we lived in South Florida. It was the epicenter of the housing bubble. And house prices were just going out the roof. It was crazy how much people were selling houses for. And we were able to sell that house at the height of the housing bubble. The very next week, the house price was already going down. And we sold it at the height of it. And, I mean, the proceeds of that house have enabled us to buy the houses that we live in now. And it's amazing. It's amazing how God has done it. And it's all been really through just following Him and following the peace of God that's in our heart. And see, this is what God wants to do in our lives. And it's and now I'm seeing how it was him working in our life in Tulsa now that has been able to bless other people like Willie and Irvin. And I just love that. And I love being able to see how God is able to orchestrate these things. Because see, we're not an island unto ourselves. You know, we're members of the body of Christ. And his objective is to have this body ministering to itself and the edification of this body and the body working together, helping it, you know, one another. And the only way that can be accomplished is if we all follow the genius of the Holy Spirit. And that the way we do that is by empowering him. And the verses that, you know, are the ones that are my favorite in this area are in Romans chapter 8. And I know you've heard me preach out of Romans 8 numerous times, but it's so good. I just keep coming back to it. Romans 8, verses 26, 27, and 28. Likewise, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, or himself, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, when I was in Tulsa praying about the direction of where the Lord was wanting us to go, I had no idea to pray at that moment, are we supposed to go to Knoxville? Because at that point, I didn't even know Knoxville was where he wanted us to go. I didn't even know it was even on his radar. So how could I have prayed accurately and asked him a question that I had no idea about Knoxville or his desire. So how do you pray? See, that's where he says here that he helps our infirmities, our weaknesses, the times that we don't know what we should pray for the way we ought. That is our infirmity. He helps us. How does he do it? Well, when we pray in tongues, when we open the door to him, he comes in and he begins to intercede on our behalf. He intercedes. He's beginning to take these puzzle pieces and put them together, finding where we fit, where our life is going to interact with Willie and Irvin's life. And he begins to piece those things together through our praying in tongues and through Willie and Irvin's praying in tongues. He's able to cause all of these things to come together, all things working together for good to those that love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. See, he's got to have an avenue, though, in which he can begin to cause these things to come into being. And that avenue is through praying in tongues. It's, you see, there's no time that God just barges into your life and says, Mark, this is the way it's going to be because I said it and I'm just going to make it happen. No, he's not like that. Some people think he is, but he's not. He's given us a free will. He's given us the ability to choose which direction that we want to go. And see, when we choose to pray in tongues, we're choosing to open the door to him to move us in the direction that he wants us to go in. See how that works? Instead of us saying, God, you just make me do whatever you want me to do. Well, that's a worthless prayer because he's not going to make you do anything. But instead of doing that, if you'll say, okay, God, I'm going to pray in tongues. I'm going to let the Holy Ghost direct me, and I know that you're going to You're going to strategically place me where you want me to go. You just start out praying in tongues. And you don't have to know what you're praying about. Although there are times that he does reveal what you're praying about. Not all the time, but there are times he does. There's times that you may find yourself interceding for somebody else. There's been times that he has gotten a hold of me and wanted me to intercede, and I didn't even know what I was interceding for. But I started praying in tongues and intercession came on me. And I know that it was something was being worked out in the spirit. But he had to have an open door through someone's using their authority in the earth, and that in that case it was me praying in tongues, releasing my authority, exercising my authority, enabling him to accomplish things in the earth. See, he can't just unilaterally do something in the earth. It requires our authority in order for those things to happen, and we give him that authority through praying in tongues. And so what a unique opportunity we have to be a tool in God's hand without us having to know what it is that he's using us for. Isn't that amazing? So you can just, you know, you can just pray in tongues, and God'll, boy, I tell you what, he's looking for somebody to pray in tongues. He's looking for that authority in the earth to be used to get some things accomplished. So if you'll, you know, if you will make yourself available to pray in tongues, you're going to see God use you and God minister through you. So let me give you some more scriptures here. Well, let me finish Romans 26, 27, and 28. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind or the purpose or the plan of the Spirit. What is the plan? What's the plan? See, I don't know what God's plan is, his overall plan. I don't know where I fit into his plan. So what I need to do is I need to empower the person who does know the plan. I need to empower him to intercede on my behalf so that I can fit where I'm supposed to fit in the plan of God in the earth. And when you do this, when you pray in tongues, he takes you from where you are, and he will orchestrate things, but you still have to make those decisions. You have to make those moves. You have to, like, for example, with me and Debbie, we had to come to the place where we said, I believe this is God. I believe that he wants us to sell our house. I believe that he wants us to move to Knoxville. And you have to make steps of faith. Did we know this house existed? No. I had no idea it existed. And do we know exactly why God has brought us here? At this moment, I cannot honestly say that I have all the details for why he brought us here. But I know that it is going to fit into his plan. I know that he has something in his mind for us here. So there's a point where you have to just simply rest in him and not have all the answers. That's right. You have to have faith in him that he knows what he's doing, and you're following him, and that you and your little carnal mind don't have to have all of the details. See, it is a walk of faith. And faith requires you to make steps even though you may not know what the end result is going to be. Some people don't like that. Some people want to know what the end result is before they make those moves. And I haven't found that myself, I haven't found that God works that way. I've found more often than not that He wants us to follow Him and believe that it's Him and to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, there's a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 that says exactly that. And this is Paul writing, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." If you have to have the details before you make those steps of faith, aren't you trying to walk by sight, really? Because you're basically saying, I won't move out until I have all the details, until my carnal mind is satisfied that it knows what we're doing. Then I will do it. And again, that's just not how God has led us. And that we can go through many different examples in the Word of God where you can see Him leading people, but them not knowing where they were going when they left. Abraham, for example, is the first one that comes to mind, where God sent him out to a land that God even said, I'm gonna send you to a place and I'll show you when you get there. How would you like that? You know, at least we knew we were coming to Knoxville. How would you like it if God said, okay, I want you to sell your house, pack all your things in a truck, and I want you to head out, and I'll tell you when you get there. Boy, you'd have a hard time just even getting the U-Haul truck because they'd say, where's your destination? Well, I don't know. God hasn't told me yet. Yeah, think about that. Just think about that. See, we feel like we have to have these details because someone else might think you're crazy. Abraham didn't feel like he was crazy. He went out and headed in the direction God led him, even though he didn't know exactly what the destination was going to be. So, and there's other examples. There's Paul and Silas when they were in Acts chapter 16, when they were being led by the Holy Spirit. The leadership of the Holy Ghost was, in fact, telling them where not to go instead of where to go. If you read that, and I hadn't really thought we were going in that direction, but here we are. So if you look at Acts chapter 16, we'll probably come back to Romans 8. Acts 16. Kind of set the stage here. Paul and Barnabas had been in Jerusalem, and they were heading out on the second missionary journey. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. John Mark was the one that had left during the first missionary journey. He kind of went back home again. He kind of got scared, I think, when the people started getting thrown in jail. Kind of scared him a little bit. But Barnabas, who was his uncle, he wanted to take him on this next missionary journey. And Paul said, no, he's not going. And so they had a little scuffle about it. I think it must have been pretty heated discussion. And as a result, Barnabas took John Mark. He went one way, and Paul took Silas, and he went the other way. And you can look at that, and you can wonder, where was the leadership of the Holy Ghost and all of that? But when you see how Paul and Silas, how they journeyed together, how they ministered together. I mean, it looks like a perfect fit, even though it started with contention. How can that be? How is it that Paul and Barnabas can be so at such heated contention over John Mark, and yet when they, you know, when it's all said and done, here's Paul and Silas, and they're, you know, they're just moving right along with the Holy Ghost. It's amazing how God's able to work even through our seemingly mistakes. You know, I would have to say that contention wasn't a godly contention. So, but my point here in Acts 16, as you see Paul and Silas, as you watch them as they're ministering, and I mean I've gone into details previously looking at their missionary journey. And And I would encourage you sometime, take Acts 16, get a map of ancient Asia, and look at that map and see how the travels of Paul and Silas, look at the cities, look at how they're traveling, and notice something. Notice these words. In verse 6, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia, when you see that, identify it on the map. Look at that map and find Phrygia and the region of Galatia. And what you're going to notice is this wasn't just a hop, skip, and a jump. These people didn't all pile into their big maxi van and drive down the road. These people had to walk, or maybe they had a donkey that they rode. But this was not just something where they left in the morning and got there in the evening. This took days and days and weeks of traveling to get to these places. And my point is that if you strike out and you start heading in a direction, you know, you've traveled for a few days or a few weeks to get to a certain point. Let's say, for example, you know, we're in Knoxville. Let's say that we start heading in the direction of Nashville. Okay, and we don't have a car, so we're going to walk. So we get about, I don't know, halfway there. What does it take? Well, it probably takes us maybe a month to get that far, you know? And so you get that far, and where are you heading? Well, we're heading to Nashville, okay? Well, then you see verse 6, and it says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the regions of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, they were heading towards Asia, and the Holy Ghost forbid them to go into Asia and preach. So it wasn't that the Holy Ghost changed his mind. Okay, one day he told them, go to Asia. The next day, okay, don't go to Asia. It wasn't like that at all. They were going because they had been given the word go. We've all been given the word go into all the world. They had their marching papers from the leadership in Jerusalem to go and to share this doctrine that the leadership had established, share this doctrine with these churches that you've established. So that's what they were doing. And they're heading into Asia, and lo and behold, the Holy Ghost says, don't go there. Okay? So what do they do? Do they turn around and head back home? No. Now, this is where you really have to think about it. Put yourself in their shoes. So let's say we're heading towards Nashville. And the Holy Ghost said, don't go to Nashville. All right. So what are you going to do? Just stop and stand where you're at and don't move? Or are you going to turn around and come back to Knoxville? Or what are you going to do? Well, in their case, they struck out. They headed in a direction. And let's go on and read here. So they were forbidden at the end of verse 6. Forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they assayed to go into Bithynia. Now, does the word assay means that they're weighing this out. They're thinking about it. They're trying to decide where to go. Does that sound like they have specific instructions from the Holy Ghost to go to Bithynia? Absolutely not. They have been given the word go. They have the doctrine that they are sharing with these churches. They have been given the instruction, and so where are they going? They're going wherever the peace of God is directing them, and they come to a place here now where they're trying to decide, do I go to Bithynia? All right, well, what happens? After they were come to Mysia, they assayed, that means they're trying to decide about going to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. No, you're not going there. Well, here's the interesting thing. You know, from the first time that the Holy Ghost said, don't go to Asia, to this time where the Holy Ghost tells them when they're in Mysia, don't go to Bithynia, how in the world did they even get to Mysia? It's because they're still following the leadership of the Holy Ghost, and to the best of their ability. In other words, their light is green for go. And it's the Holy Ghost that's telling them, don't go here. All right? But that doesn't mean that their light suddenly is red and they stop and they don't go anywhere else. They keep going over in this other direction until the Holy Ghost says, don't go to Bithynia. You see, my point is this. And I heard another minister sharing on these same verses, and he reinforced this that I'm teaching to you tonight. He reinforced the same thought, and it is that so many people are waiting to hear, the specifics of go, and here's where you got to go. And this is the details of it. That's not how these people lived. These people, their light was green for go already. It was simply the Holy Ghost that was refraining them from going in that direction or this direction. But it didn't mean that even when they got stopped, that they stopped moving. They still kept going. They still kept going, and as he attempted to go to Bithynia, don't go there. All right. So did they just stay in Mysia? Did they not go any further? We can't. I mean, picture some people today, some Christians today. I mean, they've been told two times, don't go here, don't go there. Oh, my gosh. I can't go anywhere. I'm just going to sit down right here and I'm not going to move. That's not how they operated. I mean, that is just not the mentality that they had. Their objective, and it was, I go back to what I taught last week about, what the message that Jesus gave to Peter, that he was going to make him fishers of men. And then later on in the ministry, just before Jesus went to heaven, he told Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. So here he has the instruction to catch men, to be a fisher of men, and he also has the instruction to disciple them. And so that's what we are to do. I mean, this isn't rocket science. We're to catch men and we're to disciple them. And, you know, you can say, well, who are we supposed to do that to? Hey, whoever's in front of you, whoever, you know, wherever you are, wherever you've been, you know, you've followed the peace of God to this place, wherever it is. You followed the peace of God to this job, to this neighborhood. This is where you are. This is where you share the gospel, where you catch men, where you make disciples. You know, it isn't so, what's the right word? We make it harder than what it's supposed to be. You know, Jesus, when he walked through the earth, when he was alive on the earth, you know, he would go to one place and he would just preach and share, and then go to another place and preach and share. And it was, you know, you look at it and think, did he hear every single instruction on where to go and what to do every single time, or was he following the leadership of the Holy Ghost? I truly believe he followed the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And it was a peace within him that he followed. Did he hear from the Father? Well, certainly he did. But, you know, for example, the woman with the issue of blood, when he was standing in that crowd, you know, she was the one that reached out. He turned around. He felt virtue go out of her. And who was orchestrating all of that? You know, was that him or was that her? So my point, though, is, you know, we can be the person that God wants us to be, praying in tongues, following his leadership, not having to have all the details, following the peace of God in our hearts. And as we do that, just like with Willie and Irvin, God will strategically move our lives and come and bring us in contact with other people in the body. And the end result is that this puzzle gets fitted together so perfectly, and this picture begins to rise up off of this. And it won't be just because of me or because of Debbie or Willie or Irvin. It'll be the picture that God has for all of us. And we just have our own little addition to it. Just our own little part. But the overall, that's what's important. The overall picture begins to emerge. And I think that's so exciting that I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to be the end all. I'm a little piece of this big puzzle, but I want to fulfill that. And the best way that I can do that is by praying in other tongues, empowering the Holy Ghost to direct me and to lead me. So let's go back. We're going to leave Paul there. Of course, I guess I need to finish there in 16. They did have a vision in verse 9, chapter 16 of Acts. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Man, they had a vision here. They had a vision of this guy in Macedonia. They knew he was from Macedonia. Maybe he had a certain attire. Maybe his clothing told them that he was from Macedonia. And he said, "Come over here." Well, that must be God. Let's go over there. I mean, it's amazing how if you're just open to however God wants to lead you, it's amazing how God can get you where He wants you to be at. But, you know, praying in tongues is going to help you get to that place. So let's go back to Romans 8. I think we'll finish in Romans 8. I just really love Romans 8. Looking at the ministry of the Holy Ghost there. So we saw in 26th verse, likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And when you do that, when you do 26 and 27, then you can have 28. 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good. See, now, here is the puzzle pieces coming into position. We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. His purpose. According to His purpose. We're praying, and the puzzle pieces start to fit into place. All things are working together for good. You know, He takes the sometimes the things that are horrible. Horrible things happen. And He can still turn it for good to come in as a result. And it, you know, it's amazing. I've heard stories of people that were, you know, one person was, a mother tried to abort the person, you know, as a fetus before they were even born, but somehow they survived. And just an incredible testimony. How would you like to come from that as a beginning? But God could still take this and work a good plan for that individual's life. That's the amazing part of God. But we have to be willing to empower the Holy Ghost to work on our behalf. And how do we do that? By praying in other tongues. So as we begin this new year, I would encourage you to take time. I know for myself, I need to take more time praying in the Holy Ghost. But I would encourage you, as here you are at the beginning of this new year, you have all of the things in front of you, and many of you have decisions that you need to make. Well, I tell you what, if I had a major life decision, I wouldn't even attempt to make a major life decision without praying in tongues. Giving yourself over to the Holy Ghost. Edifying yourself. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that we edify ourselves by praying in tongues. You're building yourself up on your most holy faith, is what it says in Jude, praying in the Holy Ghost. So, begin this new year. Set aside a little bit of time and give yourself over to the ministry of the Holy Ghost through praying in tongues, and let Him work through you and take you and position you the way He wants you to be at in this big puzzle, so that you find your unique place and you fit in there. And you add to this overall picture. And without you there, that picture is not complete. But with you in your right place, you add to this entire overall plan of God. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the Holy Ghost. I thank You for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's so wonderful. And I thank You that we have this ability to pray in other tongues And through this, we open the door for him to intercede on our behalf and to fit us so strategically, just like a piece from a jigsaw puzzle. He can fit us in our unique position in the body of Christ, and through that, we can be a blessing to those around us, those that we come in contact with. Thank you. And I pray, Father, that people are encouraged to pray in tongues, and that this word is going to so stir them that they're going to be dedicating time to praying in other tongues and empowering the Holy Ghost to lead them. And I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you would like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.